Do you remember?
You see, you are what you eat from your head down to your feet.
All of those great public service announcements that taught you to eat well and exercise? Today you get a quick walk down memory lane. All this and much, much more on episode 61 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Jeff?
Well, as you can probably hear in my voice, I've been sick for the last little while. But besides that, I'm having a pretty good week. So how is your week going, Russ?
It's going well. Why don't we get into our keeping it real here, and I'll let you know how it's going weight-wise and fitness-wise. My weigh-in here this week is 240.7, down a little over half a pound. Eating goals, I'm going to say a 5 out of 10. I've been, for some reason, really struggling with that. Exercise goals, a good solid 7 out of 10. Again, that elliptical's back in motion, and it's just going great. Motivation for the week, 10 out of 10. I'm coming up on 100 days until my 20-year high school reunion, so like old Larry the Cable Guy says, got to get her done.
Well, I'm just looking at your weight there, 240.7. When is the last time that you saw a weight in the 230s?
2002, I'm going to guess. That was a long time ago.
So I think a big milestone is when you first see that 239 point something. That's just going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that 230 number. It's been, like I said, it's, 235 was my weight in football in high school. So we're getting so close to high school weight. It is scary. And my 220 was my playing weight after two-a-days and, you know, doing all the hell week.
And so you're probably pretty close right now because you have a lot less hair.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a lot colder on if I have to wear a hat. That's about the only difference.
All right. Well, let's get right into our email and comment section.
All right. Our first email is from Annie, and she wrote, "Hello, Russ and Jeff. I recently discovered your podcast and love listening. You give the tough and honest but necessary advice that really helps me stay motivated. Through exercise and diet regulation, I have lost a total of 12 pounds since December. Congratulations. I have about 7 more pounds to reach my goal to fit into that bridesmaid's dress for my brother's wedding in the summer. I am 5'9", 20 years old, female weighing 160 pounds. Here's my question. I've heard a lot about the health benefits of periodic fasting to detox one's system, even weight loss benefits. It seems to me that fasting would slow down the body's metabolism because the body would think it was starving and conserve. Once the person goes off the fast, I would expect the body would take a while to get back up to a high metabolism. One reason it interests me is because I eat healthy for the most part, but my biggest problem is portion control. I've heard as another benefit, if I were to juice fast for 2 or 3 days, that it would shrink my stomach so that I wouldn't be able to consume as much food. I'm hoping fasting would give me a jump start so I can be confident in my willpower and my stomach can tell me it is full with smaller portions. Please let me know if this would help or hurt my weight loss progress. Thanks again for your inspirational show, Annie."
Well, I have quite a detailed answer prepared, but first of all, congratulations on losing 12 pounds. That's right around a pound a week, and you have 7 more pounds to go, and you have at least 3 or 4 more months, so this should be really easy for you to accomplish your goal. Now, as for fasting to detox your body, that is a really easy myth to dispel because the logic doesn't make sense. You see, your body eliminates toxins through your liver naturally 24 hours a day. You understand that when you fast, it quickly slows down your metabolism. That means that all of your metabolic processes will slow down, including your liver. So that means that it would take longer for your body to process any toxins if you were fasting, as opposed to just eating clean, healthy, unprocessed foods instead of putting yourself through all of that hunger. So just eating clean foods, you're going to detox faster than not eating. Another point, our average listener is not on their first or second or even 10th diet. They've gone through years of very short-lived diets that for the most part have only lasted a week or two before they gave up. Many of them have tried tons of gimmicks and programs and failed over and over. They give up for a while and then something new catches their eye that promises to help them lose even more weight quickly, and they think that they'll just try one more thing and then all their weight problems will be over. short-term fasting is just another gimmick that won't help you at all in the long run. On this show, our biggest success would be if we can break some people from these yo-yo cycles for the rest of their lives. And having said that, when you are asking about periodic fasting to help with weight loss, it is absolutely the wrong thing to do. I'm not talking about fasting for religious purposes or anything like that. I'm talking about for the purpose of losing weight. And I've come up with 7 reasons. So number 1, when I did some searches on the internet to see what people were saying about fasting, almost everything that I found was absolute garbage. Most of the arguments and reasoning made no sense at all physiologically. There's definitely a group of true believers out there who look for any little piece of advice or personal story that can be used to back the benefits of fasting, but they totally ignore the big picture. Just because there seems to be a community of people on the internet who are supportive of fasting and leave lots of positive comments on blogs and forums, it doesn't mean that they aren't idiots and know what they're talking about. Even the most professional-looking articles that I found were eventually just trying to sell you something dealing with fasting one day and then eating the next. There's even current diet books in stores today that claim the longer you fast, the healthier you will be afterward. It's just total nonsense. Think of it this way. If you're being chased by a grizzly bear while out camping, is your body going to be functioning properly while near the end of a fast? No, of course not. You're going to be mentally and physically sluggish. You will not be healthier after a fast. You will be in recovery. And my second point, how fast do you plan to gain your weight back? If you're doing periodic fasting, it's really not a question of if, but how fast. I hear the worry in your email about not being able to reach that goal. You have months to lose that last 7 pounds. There's no reason for you to do what I would consider desperate dieting techniques. Cut your calories by 300 or so per day and do some moderate exercise, and you will easily lose 7 pounds in 3 months. You don't need to do anything that you know will slow down your metabolism. The faster and more extreme things you do to lose weight, the less likely that you'll keep it off. Point number 3 is that sumo wrestlers use periodic fasting to gain weight. They do not eat all day long. They eat one big meal in the morning and one at night, with usually 12 hours of fasting in between. Over the centuries, they've realized that not eating very often helps them gain fat. They put on more weight by eating, you know, just morning and night instead of eating throughout the day. Most people think you have to eat all the time to get fat. Doesn't really work that way. Point number 4, I don't know how long your metabolism will stay slowed down after you start eating again, but when you do start eating again, your body will be a total fat-storing machine for the next while. Thousands of years ago, when food was in short supply, it was great that our metabolism could slow down so quickly that we could survive without food for a while. When food became plenty again, fat was stored at a very accelerated rate to prepare for the next famine. After a fast, it may be true that you feel that you can't eat as much at once after your stomach has shrunk, but that isn't going to impact your cravings for food or feeling satisfied with a small meal. You're still going to be hungry soon after. As well, if you lose even a tiny bit of muscle while you fast, your metabolism will not truly get back to where it was until you put back that time in the gym and gain that muscle back. I've said this many times, but you can't fight your body's natural desire to eat. Undereating will always lead to overeating. Point number 5. Our philosophy on the show is that if you want permanent weight loss, you simply have to live the life of that thinner person that you want to become. Thinner, healthy people do not fast for the purpose of maintaining their weight. They simply eat and exercise at an average level that keeps them at their current weight. Anything that you do that is temporary in dieting gives you temporary results. It's as simple as that. Point number 6, there is no such thing as a jump start on weight loss. Many programs all start off with an intense week so that people will think that they've had a ton of weight loss right at the start, and it may be motivating to continue. It isn't real weight loss. Most people find that they plateau after only 2 or 3 weeks. What really happens in the first few days is a loss of water weight. And I know people always say you're just losing water, but this is caused by 2 things. First, you'll be eating less processed foods, so right there you're eating less salt, which causes people to retain water. Secondly, when the glycogen in your muscles is used up, water comes out of the muscle as well. When you start to eat again, Your muscles are begging for that glycogen fuel again, and the water comes right back into your muscles along with it. So that's how water weight can be just a temporary loss. And if you think you haven't heard enough, I have one more point. Point number 7. Thinking that fasting is normal or healthy for people in our modern society is potentially dangerous. I've seen all of these arguments on pro-anorexia and pro-bulimia forums on the internet. If you read some of these forums, you're going to think that these girls, and it's mainly girls, are absolutely nuts, but they didn't get there overnight. Periodic fasting for almost every single anorexic is the gateway drug that starts them thinking that this is normal. They do their first fast, and then they start to feel empowered, and then they think they'll feel even better if they fast longer and if they lose more weight. And this is just the slippery slope that most never fully recover from. The line in your email that said, thinking about not eating so that your stomach will shrink and you won't be able to eat as much, is probably the most common theme that I've ever come across in any of these forums. It's just simply not a path that you want to think is positive or healthy physically or mentally. It might make sense on the surface when you first hear about it, but it really doesn't. So I know this is probably the longest answer to any email you thought I could ever babble about, but the bottom line here, don't panic. You have plenty of time to lose those last 7 pounds. As for worrying about portion control, everyone has to deal with it. You need to work on strategies to keep yourself from eating too much at a single meal. There's lots of different things you can do, everything from eating off smaller plates to eating foods that are lower calorie so that you can eat more of them. Bottom line, and this is truly the bottom line to this answer, you are the only person who is in control of your fork and how much you're going to be eating. Stop it there and you won't feel that you have to do desperate things to make up for it. Just living that life of the thinner person, you don't have to worry about it.
All right, well, Jeff, I think that's the longest answer you've had to any particular question or email that's come in. So bravo, sir. Bravo.
Well, when the email came in, I just kept thinking about it and came up with more points and more points. And I kept researching on the internet and finding things, and the answer just kept growing and growing. But yeah, it wasn't a simple answer, as you can see.
Yeah, we talked about the fasts and detoxing in a previous podcast. So if you want to learn a little more about that and why detoxing doesn't work, take a look at the website and search for detox, and you'll find a whole show about that. But if you'd like to get your question answered, either extremely long or maybe just short and pithy, there's a few ways you can get that information to us. The first one is to comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
You can also leave us a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, let's get into a couple news items on the Web Report. What do you have for us this week, Jeff?
The article that I have this week was entitled, Dieting is for the Dogs. But this is actually an article that I wrote on the fattofitradio.com website, and I was talking about my own dogs. See, I have two dogs, and one of my dogs is quite overweight, or was quite overweight. A year ago, when I went to the vet, I have a Norwegian Elkhound named Maggie, and she clocked in at 66 pounds, which I guess is in the morbidly obese category for this dog. So the vet tried to sell me on diet dog food, which is well over $100 per bag, and I was supposed to feed the dog the exact same amount of food that we were feeding, you know, for the last several years. There was a lot of filler in this dog food, so she'd get full, but not as many calories. So I'm actually too cheap to buy this really expensive dog food or send my dog to a spa or anything like that. So what I did was I finally read the side of the dog food bag that I've been feeding them all these years and actually fed them the proper amount they said to feed them for dogs who are supposed to weigh a certain amount. So I started feeding my dog the amount that I'm supposed to feed a 50-pound dog. And guess what? In 1 year, my dog lost 11 pounds, which is 17% of her body weight. And all that I did was feed her the proper amount that it said on the side of the dog food. So I guess you're wondering, this seems so obvious. Why am I talking about this? Well, this is really a parallel to what we're talking about on this show. In all honesty, I was kind of shocked when we had the dog weight again this year and they'd lost that much weight. So I didn't really notice the weight loss. But we really put the dog on eating and living like this thinner dog. And after a year, she became this thinner dog. And I know it's much easier with dogs than, of course, if you have an overweight child or dealing with yourself, because there's not those issues. I mean, I'm 100% in control of what my dog's eating. And if my dog has cravings and stuff, well, it's just too bad.
So is this formerly fat dog trying to steal the food of your other dog?
Well, that's right. I have to watch the dogs now, so the fat one still doesn't try and sneak over and pick up all the food. She just has a really big appetite, and I guess she's going to struggle with it, but it's easier when she doesn't have to struggle. She just eats whatever she gets.
So people say that pets and owners look alike. Which one do you look like, Jeff?
I've looked like both my dogs at times in my life.
All right. Very good.
So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, this week, I don't necessarily have a news item. I watched a little movie. I have this Netflix box, and I can watch all these videos now. It's just incredible. And the one I watched last night was called The Beautiful Truth. It is a movie about, it's a documentary, actually, about a whole bunch of different things. I might go into some of the more on the website, but in particular, I want to talk about this. It mentions aspartame, that sweetener that is in Diet Coke, is known as an excitotoxin. It promotes excitotoxicity, but I had no idea what that was, so I looked it up. And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines excitotoxic as being involving or resulting from the action of an agent that binds to a nerve cell receptor, stimulates the cell, and damages it or causes its death. So I went looking up some more information. I looked up Wikipedia, and it said here, the most well-known to the general public, excitotoxic concern is the current debate over aspartame, also known as NutraSweet, and also monosodium glutamate, MSG. Approximately 40% of the aspartame is broken down into the amino acid aspartic acid, also known as aspartate, an excitotoxin. So the reason I bring this up is because just this last week, we had some of this Coke Zero in the house, and that's just another formula for Diet Coke. And my wife has been drinking them, and she told me the other day, she goes, I picked up my first Coke Zero, and I didn't think that I was drinking a diet drink. I thought I was drinking a regular Coke. She had lost that ability to taste the difference between the Diet Coke and the regular Coke. And then I watched this movie, and I thought, what did I do to her? You know, she was drinking like maybe one or Coke every couple days, and how much better is that one regular Coke than drinking all this Diet Coke that, you know, you see so many people addicted to, and myself included in the past? And so this just solidified my decision to get back off the Diet Coke. And I was watching this movie, and this, they're talking about all these other different elements, and they get up this Diet Coke and the aspartame, and I'm drinking a Diet Pepsi while I'm watching this movie, and it's just killing me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I poured it out. And it was me my last one, period. So I have a whole bunch of links here that I'm going to include on the show notes. So take a look at that. You know, I'm not going to go off the deep end. I don't even know, this excitotoxicity, is this a real thing? But it's so compelling, and all the stories you read about people, in particular, there was a lot of them that were talking about people who they knew drinking so much Diet Coke, and then they come up with a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, MS. And is it, you know, that's a disease of the brain. And here we are, the excitotoxins damage or cause death to brain cells. So I think the two, you know, while I can't say that they're perfectly, you know, aligned and that the one causes the other, but, you know, the evidence is piling up in its favor. So I'm getting off it.
Well, I think this is great. Even if this doesn't really pan out, all of this research and things that we're looking into, it doesn't really matter right now, because this is getting you off of the Diet Coke again. These six links that you've left here are totally from all over different places of the internet, from Merriam-Webster to all these different websites. And if it gets you off of the Diet Coke, I think that's awesome. And if it encourages other people to look at what they're drinking for diet soda and maybe look at these links, it could help a lot of people.
Yeah, and it goes with that, you know, eating whole foods, eating clean, like you mentioned before. And Diet Coke should not be part of anyone's diet that's eating clean. You know, it's not a food. It's delicious. It's refreshing. But you know what? So is, you know, a nice glass of iced tea. That's refreshing also. So I'm off it.
Well, if you remember last year when I got off the Diet Coke and I had these horrible caffeine headaches for the first couple of days, do you remember me talking about those?
Yeah, sure.
When I see a Diet Coke or a diet soda, that's kind of what goes into my mind, the pain that I was in, and I just didn't want to get hooked on that again. It's not that I really found it that refreshing. If I didn't have one in the morning, I had a headache. It was just, oh, I hate being addicted to anything.
Yeah, my main problem here is I don't want to replace it again with coffee or something else like that. That's just, it's going to be water. Actually, today I'm drinking, I'm like thirsty. I'm like, where's my Diet Coke? And I just had to replace it. I just got a bottle of water. I'm good to go.
All right. Well, let's move on to our feature section. And this week we are talking about all of these old public service announcements. You know, the ones that you used to see during Saturday morning cartoons when you were a kid?
Yeah, they would teach you things like, how do you make a bill? You know, your legislature. What's a conjunction? your vowels, your numbers. We teach all these great things, but there were a whole group of these PSAs that were also geared towards health. They would teach you what kind of foods to eat, what was healthy, and they also tell you to go outside and exercise because they knew their target audience, that was me, was Jeff. We were sitting on our rear ends in front of the TV, and if you were me, you were about 2 feet away from the TV, so it would be, didn't need a big screen TV. It was a 24-inch TV, and it was 12 inches in front of you. It was the biggest screen you ever saw. But you would be sitting there in front of the TV, and they would tell you, eat good food and go outside and exercise. So today what we're going to do is we're going to be a little light on content here. We're going to be a little heavy on just entertainment. And these were all little videos. And so you're not going to get much of it here, but you get the audio and you get the feel of it. And head over to the blog to check out the videos themselves and to really get the flavor of what we were watching in the 70s.
That's right. So let's get right into one. And this came from the Heart Association, and it was from the early 70s.
Remember the Tin Woodman from The Wizard of Oz? He wanted a heart.
What do you want a heart for?
To thump and thump.
What would you do with a heart, sir?
I jump for joy, I jump. I'd be careful of what I eat, make sure it's proper for my heart. I'd never eat things that would make me too fat.
That's a good start.
But would you exercise?
Exercise.
Each and every day.
If the doctor said it was good for my heart, you betcha, right away.
I think that just had some great lines in there. I would never eat anything that would make me too fat.
Yeah, and they're telling you, listen to your doctor and to do what he says to stay healthy. That's good. And they really said, go out and exercise. That was the main message there, and that was really cool.
I can't even think of any current public service announcement that has that sort of message today.
No, if it's not an advertisement for some toy or something for you to buy, then you don't see it on TV anymore.
Well, let's move on to the next one. The next one is probably one that most people will remember.
Hi there, Time for Timer, your roving reporter. I'm talking to you from inside a fantastic factory, your digestive system. You know what we build here? You. Not out of wood or metal, but out of food. You see, you are what you eat, from your head down to your feet. Things like meat and eggs and fish you need to build up muscle tissue. Uh-oh. Hello, appetite control, more protein. We need energy. Playing tennis today, you know. Whoops. All these motors in your body need a lot of fuel to go on, like carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, vitamins, and so on. What's left over forms the building blocks you need, indeed, to grow on. Yes, you are what you swallow, so the next time you feel hollow, don't just fill your face with any old kind of treat. This goes for every kid or six-foot athlete. All you really are is what you eat.
So this one just takes that the great old adage, you are what you eat, and just creates a whole little one-minute video about it. It's very cool. I think the really neat part of this one was it talks about meat and fish and eggs making up your muscle tissue or building up your muscle tissue, and that's cool because it kind of gives you that sense of how your body's built.
And this is probably the first introduction that children had to what a carbohydrate and protein, these big words, they had no idea what they meant. I don't even think a lot of kids today even hear these terms if they're not watching it on television on Saturday mornings.
No, the first time I had this, these terms introduced me was this actual video when I was a kid. And then next time probably was again in seventh grade health in junior high school. So there's a big gap there between when I first introduction and then the traditional education of it.
Well, let's move on to the next one. And the next one comes from the Dairy Council.
To help get pearly teeth like these, it pays to dine on milk and cheese.
A piece of meat or dinner dish, twice a day be on your dish.
Lots of vegetables and fruit will keep you healthy and so cute.
All these things, it's plain to see, are made from grain for you and me.
Take your food from the four food groups.
This message presented by your local Dairy Council.
So I think that one might be the first one that really introduced people to the four food groups.
Yeah, it was interesting because the first thing they pushed, and as I was watching it, this is actually one of those ones I hadn't seen in the past, but the fact that I knew it was from the Dairy Council, and the first thing that they mentioned was dairy and cheese, I thought, this is very self-serving. But when they, when they go through all the food groups, they give equal time to each one, so that was very nice to see.
Here is another one from the Dairy Council as well.
Getting meals in bygone days caused lots of hassles in lots of ways. To get that vegetable or fruit, hit that monster in the snoot. Baking bread from wild grains? Hurry up before it rains. Try to catch some meat or fish, and you could be the evening dish. Getting milk was quite a trick. Had to dodge old Bossy's kick. We still need these foods today. Get them the 3244 way. This message presented by your local dairy council.
I think this one is a little bit more interesting because it's talking about cavemen and getting your milk from a cow. And the commercial itself was a little more interesting visually, which of course you'll have to come to the website to see the actual link to this. But otherwise, I think it was a fairly decent commercial.
Yeah, they did a good job there of, you know, making sure all the different types of foods were talked about equally.
That's right. Now, the next one, we were just talking about the four food groups. The next one is talking about a food group that we really don't consider a food group anymore, and that's the starch food group.
We are about to unveil a new diet food, one that's low in calories, yet good for you.
Starch.
That's right. Starch. Foods like bread, rice, and potatoes can help you lose weight if you don't load them up with sugar and fat. Believe it or not, a potato has one-third the calories of a hamburger. So if you want to lose weight, remember starch, the healthy diet food.
So yeah, so this PSA just flies in the face of all the no-carb, low-carb diets we've been seeing for the last few years. And it's saying, hey, eat starches, eat these carbs to lose weight.
I think this is in retaliation. This is right in the 70s when the Atkins diet was just coming out and low-carbohydrate was becoming popular. And it was just really a fight back to try and get people to be eating breads and grains again.
Yeah, but you know, it is true that those things that they were mentioning are good for you and they're fine on, you know, any diet, but including one that you want to lose weight on. And again, as long as they're in moderation, but they also include here, don't load them up with sugar and fat. You know, don't put a bunch of butter on your breads and don't put, or your potato, and don't put a bunch of sugar on your cereals and grains and things.
The next one I remember from my childhood, and I think you have too, Russ, and it's about eating breakfast.
So this PSA was looking at two things. They wanted you to, number one, eat breakfast. Number two, they wanted children to eat that breakfast before they go to school because it's been known for a long time that children who have breakfast do better in school.
Yeah, that's right. I hope this had some impact on some children who just were skipping breakfast all the time. You know, cartoons are so powerful in these messages. But, you know, the next one here I think is one of the best ones, and it's just talking about munchies.
When you're feeling bored or blue, watch out for the munchies. They find ways of making you munch when you're not hungry.
Here, munch this. Here, munch that.
Ruin your
hatchet
for your fat.
Go on
around,
find stuff to do. Get munching off your mind. Soon you'll see you're feeling great. The munchies have been signed.
Watch out for the munchies. Another nutritional message from the ABC Television Network.
Yeah, this one was probably my favorite one, and remember very clear because at some point, you know, when I was in, I'm going to guess, sixth grade, I looked a little bit more like the chubby kid in the PSA than I did the seventh grade when I thinned out a little bit and got a little bit thin. So I was both those stages at one point here in sixth, seventh grade, and I just identified with that a little bit. But it was great because, you know, telling kids to get out and exercise, that was a good message.
You know, saying even if you're bored, don't, you know, start eating just because you're bored. And they show this kid getting fatter, and then he starts exercising and playing outside, and he gets thin again. And I think it had a really good connection between eating extra food and putting on weight, which may not be totally apparent to young children.
And the next PSA is about foods, particularly beans and rice.
Beans and rice, beans and rice. Mama even serves them sometimes twice. But silly as he seems, beans will give you your protein. My good buddy Rice is an energy device. Put us together as a team. We've got a flavor that's supreme. Beans and rice, once or twice, or even thrice. Beans and rice, unite.
Well, you know, Russ, I can say I've actually never seen that one.
No, actually, I have seen that one. I remember it being on, it was on ABC, Channel 7 here in Southern California. Had that great voice the guy who did all the Schoolhouse Rock videos as well. Also kind of PSAs that you might have seen when you were a kid. But this one, too, just about beans and rice. And I particularly find that even then I thought those are cheap foods.
Yeah, when I first saw the title, you know, beans and rice, I thought that was just an odd combination just to try and sell.
All right, next one, our good friend Timer's back in another Time for Timer.
Hi, Time for Timer. What? No time for breakfast? Now look, since 6 o'clock last night, you haven't eaten a bite. Come on, I'll show you why that's really not the way for a growing kid to start a busy day. Here we are inside your body, and this noisy, empty space is your stomach getting angry because there's no food in the place. Uh-oh, let's find some food fast. Now listen. I don't want you to think this is the best way to eat breakfast, but in case you can't cook, and if you haven't time for a good cereal in a well-balanced meal, then this quickie breakfast is better than nothing at all, okay? Hey, here's orange juice and milk and fruit juice waiting to be taken. And bless my soul, right here's a bowl with one cold piece of steak in, a hard-boiled egg or chicken leg or cheese or luncheon meat, or a peanut butter sandwich. Any time of day's a treat. So to keep your mom from grumbling and stop that stomach rumbling and keep your legs from stumbling when you fly, you gotta eat some kind of breakfast every day.
So this one really opened my eyes when I was a kid that you don't have to eat just cereal and milk and toast for breakfast, that you can have a chicken leg or steak or something else, and that was really cool. But the one thing that I remember specifically, I remember after the first time I saw this PSA, I remember the next morning, I got myself two pieces of bread and some peanut butter and a glass of milk, and I tried to choke that down. And I remember going, I'm going to need to drink a whole gallon of milk to get that peanut butter sandwich down.
I thought it was interesting how he said, if you don't have time to eat, anything is better than nothing. And we talk about that all the time now, you know, as adults, when we're worrying about our weight and keeping our metabolism up. But as kids, that was just good common sense for you to do, so you're not hungry when you're away to school. The next one, speaking about eating, is about eating healthy snacks.
Hey, kid, have a carrot.
A carrot?
Carrot sticks are, yes, indeed. They are delicious. If you must eat in between meals, why not eat nutritious dishes? Like fill a bowl with ice cubes, then add raw cauliflower. Stuff celery with cheese and let it chill for half an hour. Add carrot sticks and olives and any other knickknacks. Then keep this by the TV set for when you want those quick snacks. Well?
Well, but while I'm waiting, could you make me a banana?
Okay, you're a banana.
So the first thing I thought of when I saw this, Jeff, is you talk about this bowl of cold water that you have in your fridge with carrots and celery in it. I thought, look at that. Jeff was listening when Time for Timer was on when he was a kid.
That's right. And somehow it came back to me all these years later, and I just started doing that.
Yeah, but you know, the big idea there is keep healthy snacks around and don't just grab junk. And it's all about what's available. And if good food's available, you know, you're going to eat that. And even back in the 70s, we had the same ideas.
That's right. I'm thinking when I was, this was probably, you know, 1978, 1980, my elementary school, we actually had a program where once a month parents would come in and volunteer and make everyone healthy snacks to try and teach children on these are the type of snacks you should have. All I remember having was celery with some cheese whiz and some raisins on top of it. I can't remember what you called that. Maybe it was like ants on a log or something.
Disgusting is what you call it. That's what I can think of. But I think that's what they tried to call it.
It was something like that. Now that I see this public service announcement, this was right in the same time when they were trying to push this healthy snack sort of thing.
All right, this next one here was one I'd previously posted over on the Fat to Fit Radio website about how you can reward with love instead of food.
If I get a splinter, Mom gives me a cookie. If I spin my knee, she gives me some cake. Some dirt in my eye will get me some pie. Whenever I'm hurt, Mom gives me dessert. Hey, I better ask for a kiss instead of a cookie. If you want to console me, I'd love a big hug. If you want to reward me, a kiss would be great. Well, I don't need a cookie to make me feel better. Some love will work wonders without adding.
Well, I think this one was really targeted at the parents as much as it was at the children. What do you think?
Well, I think it was empowering the kids to say, you know what? I see that when my mom's, you know, trying to appease me or reward me that maybe food wasn't the best choice for her to give me. Maybe, you know, an attaboy, a pat on the back, or, you know, if it were me, you know, a G.I. Joe. That would have been a better one.
Oh, but I mean, if some dirt in my eye would get me some pie, I'd rather have some pie than a kiss. Come on, you're a kid.
That's true. I think that's the idea that, you know, you're trying to hold back all the tendencies of childhood there. I think, man, it probably fell on deaf ears, but I remember this one particular and thought about it whenever I scraped my knee when I was a kid going, hey, I could get some pie, apparently.
That's right. Well, the next one here, we talk about this all the time currently of what people shouldn't be doing nowadays to get extra calories.
I'm Lewis, a lifeguard, and happy to say I rescued a drowning potato today. They drowned it in sour cream. Oh, what a shame, because food's so much better when it's practically plain. So don't drown your food in mayo, salt, ketchup, or goo. Yuck, it's no fun to eat what you can't even see. So don't drown your food.
So this one kind of hit home for me because recently I'd posted over on the forums over at fattofitsupport.com about trying to find a butter substitute. Because I found myself, as I track my food throughout the day, I found one day I was eating like three times I ate butter that day. And I thought, I got to get off this. I got this butter bandwagon I was on. And so I was looking for alternatives. Of course, over at the forum, I think, you know, most people were like, don't put butter. Use, you know, salsa or something else for your potato. And, oh, use some other kind of butter on your toast. But the idea here, just don't put a lot of junk on your food. Just eat the natural foods the way they were intended to be eaten.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, here's one more that we have, and this is what should you do when you're stressed? And really, it applies to adults even today.
Michael's driving me crazy. Why hasn't he asked me to the dance? What am I going to do?
When you feel stressed,
I know it just seems so corny, but it had a good message.
Yeah, you know, you put that one up on the list of ones. I had never seen that one before. It was just too weird with the way all the people were jumping up with their hands up in the air. I thought that was kind of strange. But I guess the message is right that when you're stressed, don't let it internalize and get out there and exercise.
So those were a sampling of some of the public service announcements that played over the last 30 years, mainly in Canada and the United States. And I think they had some good points to them. It's too bad you don't really see any of these public service announcements anymore.
Yeah, like I said, the advertisements are now all pretty much self-serving. You know, there are a few you might find. I mean, and I'm not glued to the TV on Saturday morning anymore, and my kids are not glued to the TV on Saturday morning. Saturday is a day for getting outside and doing things, not for just plopping ourselves down and watching the boob tube. So, you know, there may be a whole bunch of these PSAs out there I don't know about. So if you are out there listening and have children and have seen some of these PSAs, or you don't have to have children, just have seen these PSAs, send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com so we can include these on a future show possibly.
So Russ, what do you have for the recipe this week?
Well, I was checking out a YouTube video and I found a recipe on YouTube. It was from the director, Robert Rodriguez, and this was from the DVD Once Upon a Time in Mexico. It was a little 10-minute cooking special that was on the end of that DVD. I have a video link, a recipe link, and a nutritional info link. And the recipe, let me tell you what it is. It's called Puerco Pibil, and it is slow-roasted pork marinated with homemade achiota paste, and it has habanero peppers in it, so it's going to be a little spicy, but I think this looks like a really wonderful dish. If you want to serve to some people, you know, like spicy food, this is going to be the one to serve them. It looks great. It looks like you could do it in a crock pot, possibly. He does it in some kind of weird thing with banana leaves, and that's totally unnecessary. If you put all the ingredients in your crock pot and cook it for 4 hours, I think you'll find this would be delicious. Anyway, that's our recipe this week, Puerco Pibil. I have my accent on this week also. So again, the link in the show notes for those. So definitely check that out.
That sounds excellent.
All right, Jeff, what is the homework for everybody?
Well, I was wondering how many of our listeners know exactly how they would like to look at their goal weight. The homework this week is to find pictures in magazines or on the internet of people whose appearance you would like to look like when you hit your goal weight. Now, don't use actual magazine covers because everyone there is so notoriously photoshopped, and even those celebrities can't look like their own magazine covers in real life. But cut out some of these pictures that you find or print them out to keep yourself reminded of where you want to go. And here's the problem. Don't dream too small. Maybe you can't attain that ultimate goal in 6 months or a year, but anything is attainable given enough time, effort, and dedication.
All right, good. And Jeff, what is our quote for this week?
The quote this week is an oldie but a goodie, and it's from Vince Lombardi. The dictionary is the only place success comes before hard work.
All right, I want to thank everyone for downloading and for listening. I hope you enjoyed this kind of different episode with all the PSAs. Again, there'll be links in the show notes to all these videos. We found a great website that has all these linked to, and they're just very vintage and cool looking. So check those out. And with that, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.